Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
And we welcome you to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Anyone who has listened to us knows that the purpose of this podcast is to hear the stories of people from all over the world who have effectively used cannabis to deal with a serious health issue. Our guest today has been advocating the use of cannabis to treat cancer for almost 15 years. He's written books, articles, and spoken at conferences to raise awareness of the medical benefits of cannabis. His latest project is CannabisForCancerDeclaration.com, which features medical professionals who agree that cannabis can definitely fight cancer in at least some cases. And joining us from Maryland to tell his story is Justin Kander. Justin, good of you to join us. Thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on and for all the work you do to raise awareness of cannabis for cancer yourselves.
Justin, how did you and Corey meet? I know that you connected a few years ago.
I actually cannot recall exactly how we met because it has been so long. I want to say it was around 2011. Probably through the Cannabis Oil Success Stories group. Since you were one of the earliest successful reports of cannabis healing a terminally diagnosed cancer. I initially found Corey through there. And in the very first cancer-related publication that I ever wrote, she was one of the main cases in that book. So, yeah, it's been quite a long time for sure.
I think, Justin, that the very first interview I ever did interview was with you, and you piped me into the university class at the University of Maryland there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You were the first speaker that I had for Students for Sensible Drug Policy, the organization I was a part of and still am part of as an alumni at University of Maryland College Park. Yeah, that was a really rewarding event. The first live speaking event that I actually ever did related to cannabis for cancer. That's pretty wild. I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
So it was the first for both of you then?
Yeah, by the sounds of it.
Oh, I didn't realize that was the first for you too.
It was. Yours was the first interview I ever did.
Wow, that's wild. That is, I feel very proud, especially how far you've come. That's pretty awesome.
Justin, before we get into your latest project, tell us how you and cannabis first came together.
Well, I was introduced to it recreationally, in a sense, by my friend in late high school. But really, what took it to the next level was I was part of this cannabis-related forum. And then in early 2008, someone had posted the documentary Run from the Cure, which was actually March 3rd, 2008. And I saw that documentary and just instantly I found it very compelling. And I believed that these high doses of cannabis oil could put cancer into remission. And I just thought that was a really big deal. So I instantly began sharing that information as well as examining other sources of information to corroborate that these extracts were able to fight cancer. And other forums like the Green Passion Forum, and then there were YouTube videos being uploaded by patients, as well as local news articles that were being published, which just from a wide variety of sources were confirming that cannabis could directly fight cancer. So I continued to gather that information and eventually collected it into a book and began going to conferences and just sharing it with attendees. I wasn't an official speaker or anything, but I was just sharing the information and just simply trying to convince people to take this seriously, because for so long, and of course even to some extent to this day, but especially back then, people did not take seriously that cannabis could directly fight cancer, and I wanted to show that it really could.
And a lot of people today still don't.
I know. Unfortunately, still too many donor, obviously, would be a mainstream treatment by now. But we've definitely come a long way. At least it's definitely taken far more seriously. Like, I'm actually in a master's degree program at the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy, and there's been numerous aspects of the course that have touched on cannabis directly fighting cancer. So even in, you know, such a mainstream program, it's being featured. So it's coming, but you know, we're not there yet, obviously.
That's encouraging, though, that's coming up in a mainstream class like that.
Exactly. Yeah, I was certainly happy to see it the first time, and then even more with the subsequent mentions of it. It's definitely becoming more mainstream. And I think in the next couple of years, I really do think that it's going to go to the next level.
You know, since doing this podcast with Corey, one of the things that I've noticed from people who I have a conversation with, who you would not suspect of consuming cannabis, quietly tell me that they have been doing it for a number of years. And it is really encouraging to see that. And I think more and more people are coming out in the open talking about their cannabis use and the health benefits they receive from consuming it.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's just so much less of a stigma, you know, between both the widespread adult use and medical use legalization throughout the country and the widespread use of CBD. Both of those factors are just making people see cannabinoids in a much more reasonable and legitimate light. So the stigma has come down dramatically. It's honestly like weird to hear the instances where it still exists now more so than not existing. But yeah, I mean, it definitely is still out there, especially among aspects of the medical community at least. But it's nowhere close to what it was 10 years ago, where you know they would cancel you from their practice if they found out you were using cannabis. I mean, it's still an extent in some places, but it's just a lot less.
Yeah. Remember the story you were telling me on the phone last night, Corey, about the woman who's talking about smoking cannabis? And I suppose you're going to tell me that it works for everybody.
Yeah. So this woman claimed to listen to our show all the time. I don't think she did, because she thought that what we were all about was smoking cannabis, and that we were that the message we were putting out there was smoking cannabis cures cancer. Not so. That's not what we're saying in the least.
Yes, some people like to project their misconceptions onto advocates in some cases. I've definitely seen that a lot in the past, actually, like where people will mischaracter, like so many like doctors. Like, I've read a lot of articles, you know, where it's like, does cannabis cure cancer? And, you know, a doctor like writes it down and makes all these criticisms about it. But like they completely mischaracterize the arguments and make like these ridiculous. Yeah. You know, they mischaracterize our arguments and like exaggerate, you know, it's basically just giant mischaracterization, and they're not actually engaging with the substance of it. And I've never actually seen anybody have a substantive retort to cannabis fighting cancer in at least some cases. Of course, it's easy to make the straw man argument if they're like, these advocates say that smoking weed will cure all cancers, and this is why that's not true. It's like, well, yeah, of course that's not true. The argument is that, you know, high doses of THC and CBD can fight cancers in many but not all cases. There's a lot of nuance to it. That's not as easy an argument to attack as it cures everything all the time.
Justin, what are some of the major misconceptions that the public has? You talked a bit about the medical profession, but the public has about the differences between CBD and THC.
Let's see. I mean, there's certainly a lot. A huge misconception lately is that, THC is only for adult or recreational use, and CBD and other non-psychotropic cannabinoids are for medical use. And of course, THC is a very powerful medically active compound that many people actually need as a prime component of their therapy, or at the least a partial component of their CBD therapy for maximum results. Let's see. I mean, that's that, you know, and I guess, mm-hmm. On the whole, the public still, you know, doesn't understand that cannabinoids can directly fight cancer. There's the misconception that cannabinoids are only for symptomatic relief of many conditions, or at the least, you know, a direct treatment for epilepsy, because that's been formally proven now. But many people just don't know how strong the evidence is that cannabinoids can actually fight cancer. Yeah, I mean, those are the two big ones.
Do you know, Justin, we have interviewed, I think, Corey, over 20 people who have suffered from brain cancer. I mean, just the thought of having brain cancer, to me, is a really scary thing. And of all the people that we've interviewed, they've all used cannabis, and they are all alive today, to the best of our knowledge. And some of them, you know, were given, like Corey, given 2 to 4 months to live, 6 months to live, a year to live, and they're still alive. And cannabis has kept them alive. And that, to me, is really exciting stuff.
What are your thoughts? Yes, I mean, that's exactly that. Those are the results that have powered me for nearly 14 years now. It's like the fact that it can directly fight cancer and, you know, even overcome terminally diagnosed cancers is just absolutely phenomenal to me. And it's a shame that so many people in the industry haven't also jumped on this. Like, it's actually been kind of frustrating over the years how many people I've talked to about this, and like, they just don't seem engaged with it. Like, they're just not excited. And I just don't understand how people cannot be excited about this plant fighting, you know, directly fighting cancer and putting terminal cancers into remission. Like, if everybody in the cannabis industry who heard about this, like, you know, became full-fledged advocates, like, this would have been changed long ago. But I think a lot of people, still to this day, but, you know, a lot of people just are afraid of being thought of as crazy or too controversial. They don't want to seem like they're stupid, thinking that this plant can directly fight cancer. There's definitely a lot of, like, personal fear involved around it. If everybody had banded together around this application, then, you know, so many lives would have been saved, and there's no, I personally believe that global prohibition of cannabis will fall apart very quickly once the world knows that it can directly fight cancer. I mean, just the psychological impact of people knowing that this plant can directly fight cancer is just gonna trigger so many changes. People aren't gonna stand for, you know, a safe, effective cancer treatment being illegal. You know, that would turn into violent revolution if governments didn't allow it, you know, once the public was demanding it in large enough numbers. So this is what I believe is the key to, you know, global medicalization of cannabis for cancer and many other conditions. And I really believe that cannabinoids can be part of an effective treatment plan for many diseases beyond cancer. It really is a medical revolution to tap into the endocannabinoid system and achieve that level of homeostatic regulation that no other herb can really achieve.
You know, Justin, I think when you meet someone whose life has been saved or changed dramatically by using cannabinoids, be it a terminal cancer patient or whatever, it changes you. It hits such a strong chord in you, particularly if you knew that person or even if you didn't know that person. I mean, I have to say, Ian, you know, when you and I first started doing a show together and you were having me on the air in the studio when you were in commercial radio, when we got that letter, when we were in the middle of doing that show and you read that letter and just barely held it together of how listening to this show had saved that woman's daughter's life, it changes you and you feel like you have to tell everybody.
Yeah, that was extremely emotional for me. I read this email we got from this woman, and I didn't pre-read it, and I just read it as it came in, and she talked about how the use of cannabis had saved her daughter's life. Her daughter was in intensive care in a hospital, and this was about 7 years ago, Corey, and it really had an emotional impact on me for quite some time. And that, I think that is what spurred Corey and I to do this podcast, is because of Corey's story and other stories on saving people's lives. It really has an effect on you, a positive effect on you. And I think the more people that we can get the message out to, and more stories that people can tell about their various ailments. And the information that you're giving, Justin, is extremely valuable to people. And all we can do is just do one story after another and hope that it resonates with people around the world. And you, Justin, for example, you've written a number of books. I checked on Amazon. You've got books and articles, Cannabis Extracts in Medicine, Cannabis for the Treatment of Cancer, Cannabis Prohibition, Cannabis Concoctions, Cannabis Extracts Report. Have I missed anything?
I'm not sure. For one, I actually forgot about at least one of those there, the Cannabis Concoctions. That was a long time ago. So yeah, it's like basically the big three are Cannabis Extracts in Medicine, Enhancing Your Endocannabinoid System, and Cannabis for the Treatment of Cancer. Basically, the main one that I share right now is Cannabis for the Treatment of Cancer, and I also have it easily available for free at freecannabiscancerbook.com. Some people choose to buy it on Amazon, but you know, the exact same content is available for free at freecannabiscancerbook.com. To my knowledge, it's the largest single integration of evidence showing how cannabis fights cancer in existence. That I've seen, it has over 100 human cases, including many that are published in peer-reviewed journals hosted on PubMed. There's dozens of the scientific studies showing how both phytocannabinoids and endocannabinoids kill cancer cells through similar mechanisms. And there's even a section at the end where I go through all the logical evidence, or go through like the objections that people have, because people will say like, oh, you know, preclinical evidence doesn't translate to humans, or these success stories are just cherry picked, there's cancers can be so different. How can cannabinoids be working against so many different types of cancers when they're so different? I address all those questions with a pretty reasonable information. And I mean, so far I've never seen anybody make any substantive retorts to those. Those responses. But I mean, it is important for people to be skeptical and to question it, especially if you've never heard of cannabis fighting cancer and someone tells you it does, you would be crazy not to question it and be skeptical. But by taking the time to see the evidence, it really is, just absolutely clear at this point that there's no doubt it can fight cancer in at least some cases. And once the world learns that, this world will change. That's what I believe.
Justin, do you think some of the biggest strides we've made in the past 10, 15 years are when it comes to cannabis as medicine?
Let's see, cannabis as medicine. I mean, the CBD boom has definitely been great overall, even though, there's certainly been some issues with boom, like the, dismissing the potential of THC, but the amount of people who've been helped by these CBD products that are now available is truly extraordinary, and it's gotten people to take medical cannabis as a whole a lot more seriously. So that's been good. And just in general, there's been a continuous stream of research in the peer-reviewed literature. It still is mostly preclinical, but there's, still further human evidence showing how THC and CBD can help various conditions. And then with cancer specifically, there's like 12 or 13 case reports and case series now in PubMed of linking cannabinoid intake to anti-cancer effects in humans. And that's been really big and impressive, because that's what people in the medical community take most seriously. And even, regular people, anybody can appreciate that reports that come from a medical journal are more significant. So the fact that there are so many now has been really awesome. And then beyond that, there are so many corporations now that are involved in looking into cannabinoids to treat cancer. And that's certainly one of the biggest paths to it being taken seriously on a global scale. Like, there's at least one company actively treating patients now with cannabis for cancer. I know there's going to be one starting up again in Israel later this year. And then there's, GW Pharmaceuticals. They have their phase 3 trial now, I believe, or at least formal phase 2 trial for cannabis to treat cannabinoids to treat glioblastoma, which is now getting set up. There really is a lot of substantive things going on in the corporate and scientific realms. That's looking like it'll be promising. It really is unfortunate that it's taken so long for this to be taken seriously. And And yeah, but you know, I a lot of this has been driven, like you said, continuing to share the information one case at a time. A lot of these articles that have talked about, you know, these corporations looking into it, they've said that they're encouraged by anecdotal reports. So this, you know, sharing of information has been doing a lot of good, even if it hasn't been, you know, so apparent at times, given that cannabis is still clearly illegal in most of the world. But it is making progress, and when we pass the tipping point, it's gonna be a true explosion, is what I believe.
You know, it's such an ongoing education with cannabis. You know, the more I know, the less I know, if you get what I mean.
Absolutely.
What would you say has maybe been one of your biggest aha moments with newfound knowledge?
I mean, like, it's hard to say, because, like, there hasn't been anything too, like, massively groundbreaking lately. You know, the big groundbreaking thing was that, you know, cannabinoids can fight cancer, and, you know, there's still so much more to learn about it. I guess, like, in my work with Aunt Zelda's over the years, it was apparent that at least there were many people who were getting good results with cannabinoids using lower doses than the gram per day approach. I guess that was and also patient case reports have subsequently found that, you know, some people are using lower doses and getting good results. So that's been encouraging, but, other than that, you know, nothing too big. I can say that personally, I'm really, really excited about the potential of raw cannabinoids like THCA and CBDA, since those also have anti-cancer effects. And some of the research on them shows that they might be more potent than the decarboxylated counterparts in at least some cases. But that's still very early. But I just have a really strong intuition that either those, you know, even by themselves or in combination with THC and CBD, could improve results in a lot of cases where the decarboxylated cannabinoids aren't good enough.
Over the years that we've been doing this, my knowledge of cannabis is still limited. And I think as a result of what you have done, two things stand out for me as really eye-openers. One is the use of multi-strains of cannabis, and the second one is the use of suppositories for people who don't want to get high, and the effectiveness of suppositories. Do you agree?
I agree, absolutely, yeah. Those are definitely big, big, big things, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. What are your views, Justin, on the use of suppositories for cancer?
Well, I mean, in my experience, I haven't really worked with them too much. Of course, there's been so many good reports, like from Corey and some others, about them being very effective. But I've definitely heard cases where people have relied on them and they haven't been effective. And there's, you know, I guess controversy around the effectiveness of their absorption through that route, and, you know, the lack of psychoactivity. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I just don't have too much experience with it. I think it's ideal not to rely on them if possible, but as an adjunct, I mean, you know, many people have gotten good results with them, and it's just one area where I'm especially uncertain. But at the very least, you know, people can at least be using some THC sublingually, and also CBD can be used. I don't think there's really much reason to use CBD via suppository, since there's not really any psychoactivity there to avoid in the first place. If someone could use the THC suppository and CBD sublingually, that's also a good combination. But yeah, that's something that there definitely needs to be more research on. And yeah, I mean, there certainly have been very profound results that some people have reported. So it's just another reason why research is so critically needed in this area to ascertain what can work best. Because, you know, there have been people who've stopped, you know, other forms of THC because they just can't handle that psychoactivity, and have had good results with suppositories, and more needs to be looked into about that.
I don't know if you caught our interview with Bo Shadar Radishnik, but there's some very recent studies indicating that the concentration of cannabinoids given rectally versus orally is 100 times stronger for THC, 250 times stronger for CBD.
Interesting. Yeah, I definitely had not seen that. That would, do you have, if there's an article on that, I would definitely love to see that. I mean, that would be great. And I know that it very well could be being absorbed better in those highly concentrated extracts, because I know the study that had initially looked at THC with suppository use was basically using an isolate and at low doses, and it's quite possible that in combination with all the other constituents from cannabis, including the terpenes, that could significantly increase the absorption. So, there's definitely a lot of promise to it. And yeah, I would love to see that information about the better absorption. That sounds awesome.
Justin, I'm wondering how one goes about, or how do we as a public go about convincing the medical community that cannabis is a healthy product, it's never killed anyone, and it can kill cancer. Given that the pharmaceutical industry has such economic and political power and influence?
It's all about, sharing as much information as possible. For example, what doctors respond to most is the peer-reviewed literature, just showing them a few articles about, both preclinical and human evidence showing how cannabinoids are killing cancer and then also extending lives in humans and being associated with anti-cancer effects in humans. That's what I think is most effective. So, it can take time to get them to listen. But if everybody talked to their doctor about that and then printed out a few choice studies for them to examine, that's great. Mm-hmm. I actually have a post on my website, cannabisdeclaration.com, that just features only the published studies of cannabis fighting cancer, or the published case report. So that's a really easy single post that people could print out that's only the peer-reviewed evidence, that's, relatively easy and quick for people to read, and that can stimulate interest in looking further into other sources of human evidence, because once people see how strong the peer-reviewed preclinical and clinical evidence is, then the evidence from, the lower-level anecdotal evidence still gets taken a lot more seriously because it's in the context of such strong scientific evidence. It's definitely a battle, but eventually, doctors kind of get chipped away at. Like in the medical cannabis industry, I've seen physicians who have definitely become more open to the possibility of cannabis fighting cancer, where they were completely turned off years ago. So just that constant bombardment of evidence will eventually break people, and they'll realize, okay, there's something to this. It's just too much. It's gone too far.
Your website is interesting, the Cannabis for Cancer Declaration.com.
It's called the Cannabis for Cancer Declaration, but the website is CannabisDeclaration.com.
CannabisDeclaration.com. Okay. And you have scientific studies on the inhibitory effects of cannabinoids on more than 15 types of cancer, which people can download, and the media and PubMed reports of anti-cancer effects of cannabis in humans. So you've given people some information there, which is extremely helpful to them. Tell me how did this website come about?
I had the idea several years ago. I think it actually started in 2014. I had the idea to gather a list of doctors who agree that cannabis can fight cancer, because I believe that can help convince people that this is a serious issue, to have a long list of credentialed individuals who agree the evidence is strong enough to conclusively say it can fight cancer. I believe that will help convince others, both regular people and doctors, that this is a serious subject. So in 2019, I began putting it together in earnest, and had a friend basically build out the site. And now I'm just, working to promote it however I can, which at the moment is basically finding people on Twitter who are talking about this subject, so I get a lot of connections through there, and I also follow up on any new articles about cannabis and cancer. I follow up and email the people involved and, you know, supply that website and my book. So yeah, it's a continual grind to, you know, raise awareness. But that's just how it is.
Justin, you've been doing this for almost 15 years now, 14 and a half years, we'll say 15. Have you learned much in the last few years? I know you learned a lot when you started, but has much changed in the last, say, 2, 3, 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, really nothing. There hasn't been too much to change. I mean, I guess like some of the case reports that have come out have shown that even high doses of CBD alone without THC can sometimes have anti-cancer effects. I guess is one thing, but I mean, the safest approach is still, you know, I believe using high doses of THC and CBD for treating cancer, and you know, the doses that can be effective still range dramatically. Some people, you know, have gotten great results with, you know, the gram per day of only THC rich oil, you know, that's 600 to 800 milligrams usually per day, or, you know, as little as, you know, 50 to 300 milligrams of THC and 50 to 300 milligrams of CBD per day. And there's just no way, I believe at this point, you know, to know what approach is best for any individual, because they're just, you know, there have not been extensive clinical trials or comparative trials at all yet. So, you know, we're just, it's, you know, it's just going on based on the reports and the intuition over many years. So all that can really be said at this point, I believe, is that high doses of THC and CBD in at least some cases can definitely fight cancer. But, you know, I don't believe there's anything else that with, you know, full certainty can be said about what doses or what approaches are definitely optimal, because there needs to be full more research. But even in the absence of that knowledge, you know, just working up those high doses of THC and CBD, keeping track of the cancer and continuing to increase the doses, that, you know, really is the heart of treatment. And ideally, I guess one other thing is that it does seem that having those full spectrum oils does increase the chances of success. So like you mentioned earlier, having those multi-strain oils, that does seem to be good, because you get, you know, an inherently wider variety of terpenes and flavonoids. So yeah, that's something that seems to have grown in importance over the years. Whereas first it was like, oh, just, you know, a lot of THC, where now it's, you know, you want a lot of THC and CBD, but ideally with large levels of those other compounds. But yeah, that really is the heart of treatment. And until we get, you know, more really formal controlled trials that look at things closely, you know, we're not going to have any 100% certainty.
When you talk about dosage, I love the story, Bob Melamed's story, Corey, about his friend and how much he took. Tell Justin that. Tell listeners that.
Oh,
that is hilarious.
This guy had, I think the way it went was, this guy had Kaposi's sarcoma, and it had all been eradicated with oil, but he didn't stay on a maintenance dose because he had a new girlfriend or something who didn't like cannabis or didn't like him doing cannabis. The long and short of it, they hadn't seen each other in a while. Bob goes for coffee or something with him and sees him and goes, it was just shocked at the way he looked, and said, if you don't get back on oil, you're going to be dead in 6 months. So the guy went home. Imagine this, Justin. The guy went home and took 40 grams 40. Of oil at one time.
14?
No,
40.
40.
What, 40?
40.
Oh, my God. Even 2 grams at once. Or, I mean, even one. Oh, my God.
Yeah, 40 grams.
That's the most I've ever heard someone taking in my life, by far.
And I said to Bob, well, oh, my God. And Bob goes, well, as you can see, it can't kill you. And I said, well, what was he like? And he said, I was unable to communicate with him effectively for quite some time.
that sounds like a reasonable, I don't know how anyone could function for at least a few days on that. Because I've heard of people taking like 1 to 2 grams and, you know, being high for like, like over a day. So 40, you know, I feel like it would get stuck up in your system and you would just like, you could stay high for weeks maybe.
Well, apparently, I think Bob said he went back to the doctor a month later. And he was fine. Everything was gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that story.
Did he take any more after that 40-gram dose? Like, once it wore off, did he, like, start again at a lower dose?
I don't know. I was still trying to get over the 40 grams.
Oh, I know. That's just outrageous. Yeah. Justin, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. People can buy your books on Amazon, and you also have books on Kindle on Amazon as well. And you have freecannabisbook.com, correct? People can download that?
Freecannabiscancerbook.com.
Freecannabiscancerbook.com. Okay. I'll get that right sooner or later.
Freecannabiscancerbook.com. It's all good. I know there's several words in there.
Yeah. And give us your website again.
And then the other website is cannabisdeclaration.com.
Cannabisdeclaration.com.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like overlap, like the, you know, the scientific and human evidence on cannabisdeclaration.com is taken from the book. The main thing different with the declaration site is that it has that list of doctors. Currently 34 MD, PhD, PharmD holders are signed on. So, you know, people can see that there is quite a long list of people who agree that it really can work. And I'm hoping that it, you know, has at least convinced some people to take this more seriously.
Justin, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for all the work you do in helping educate people on the medical benefits of cannabis. We greatly appreciate it. It was wonderful to meet you for the first time, and hope one day we get to meet in person. I thank you for doing this.
Oh, yeah. Once I'm sure I'll be attending conferences again in at some point in the future. It's been a couple years now with the whole viral-related situation, but it'll definitely happen. It won't be like this forever.
Thanks, Justin. Lovely speaking with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. It really does mean a lot.
Right on. Take care.
Bye-bye.
One of the problems we're experiencing on Cannabis Health Radio is on our Facebook page. We're being shadow blocked by Facebook, and we're not reaching the more than 33,000 followers. And matter of fact, we're just reaching a fraction of them. So one of the platforms we're on is Rumble. And we have this comment from the last episode we did with Corey. It says, "Very heavy. This is my first exposure. Found this by chance. What a compelling story. And I'm only 3 minutes in." And person says, "You failed to give yourself the credit for your courage. Bravery may have been the wrong word. You literally took your life in your hands, and the reward for it was the continuation of your life. I applaud you. It's a privilege to have access to stories like this because there is a deeper meaning to be found even beyond the cannabis layer. I can't wait to scour the other episodes. With love and respect, I thank you and wish you continued health, peace, and success." And we thank that person very much. And as you may know, we have no sponsors on Cannabis Health Radio. You are the sponsor. You can change a life. You can save a life by sharing our podcasts with others. And we'd like to thank all our listeners for supporting us financially and sharing our podcasts with others and hearing the benefits of these testimonials about the healing power of cannabis. If you'd like to donate to Cannabis Health Radio, you can do so. Just go to our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and you can become a monthly supporter for as little as $5 a month. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.